He's talking about his inability to sing. I couldn't help but think of that scripture, the Lord distributed to every man according to his several ability. And thank the Lord for his choice. My privilege to stand before you tonight. I covet your prayers. And good to see all you folk of times gone by. If you read with me tonight, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye should walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through you all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heaven, that he might fill all things, and gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. What is our job? What is our calling? We are told in the chapter 3 of the church, and God brought about the institution of the church, and we, by the grace of God, who are forgiven of our sin, washed in the blood, become the children of God. And as the children of God, we go forth into the world. And so, what is your occupation? You're a child of God. Act like one. That's what the apostle is saying. Now, we have this assurance that we are the sons of God. And as sons of God, we should behave ourselves as the sons of God. And he says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. I find very little lowliness and meekness among professing Christendom in this day and age in which we live today. We are promoting ourselves more so than we are the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are building up ourselves and look at me and look at who I am and look at what I can do. And let me tell you, you're just exactly like me. You cannot do a thing in the world without the help of the Holy Spirit. You are as helpless. You cannot save yourself. You cannot redeem yourself. There's nothing that you can do to bring about salvation. It is the gift of God. It is in the plan of God. And we are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. As the sons of God, how does the world see our Savior? We are the ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are His representatives here on the face of this earth. And our demeanor testifies of our Savior. And does my conduct bring any honor to the Lord Jesus Christ? Does my ambitions, are they in harmony with the plan of God? The things that I want for me, are they what God wants in my life? And I'm afraid a whole lot of times that we let self get in the way. We let our desires, and we formulate an idea or a dream that we will accomplish, and we don't use the office of prayer very much to find out if it's God's will and if it's in God's purpose for us to do such and such and be such and such and to go such and such. We are to walk in all lowliness and meekness. Why is that? You couldn't save yourself, could you? Now, I don't care how hard you try, without the Holy Spirit, without the working of God, you cannot be saved. And I hear these people without any conviction from the Word, without any conviction of the Holy Spirit, and they begin, well, let's raise your hand and we'll pray the sinner's prayer. Let me tell you, you can pray the sinner's prayer till you're blue in the face, and if the Holy Spirit ain't in it, you'll never be saved. And so with all lowliness and meekness, our Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate in human flesh, came in lowliness and meekness. He come not to set His own agenda. He come to do the Father's will. You and I are forgiven of our sin and called into a ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are to walk in His will and seek His will and abide by His will. And if we do not do that, there is no lowliness, there is no meekness, there is no honor to the Son of God. Forbearing one another. I put up Jim Fields for years. Jim Fields put up with me for years. And I put up with some of the rest of you for years. Even though you're stubborn and you want your way and all of that, we have very little patience or forbearance for our fellow man. It's our way or no way. And we are to walk with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Well, how can I love that? Well, God loved him. God forgave him. God loved me. He forgave me. We're both sinners saved by the marvelous grace of God. So if we are born by the love of God and the grace of God, irregardless of our differences, we love one another. And that's the way the church is supposed to operate. But look at us. We're separated. We're individualist. We want things our way, and it cannot be our way. The third verse of this passage says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, don't go crazy on this, but we are supposed to be in the bond of peace. We're supposed to be in agreement. And the only way we can be in agreement is know what thus saith the Word of God and adhere to the Word of God. And it's not my ideas, it's what thus saith the Word of God. It's not your ideas, it's what thus saith the Word of God. If the Word of God does not back up your doctrine, then you need to change your doctrine. And if your method of worship does not honor God and please God, then you need to change your method of worship. There's one body, and that's the church. That's the redeemed. And only the redeemed are in the body. It's not all of these who profess to be and have no fruit. These who claim that we're all in this together, let me tell you, we're not. They may have honorable ideas and all of that thing, but if they are operating outside the pale of the blood of the Son of God, we have no fellowship with them. And we cannot. And we cannot be at peace, and there cannot be a unity of the Spirit among believers and unbelievers. It don't work, it won't work, it can't work. Purpose-driven movement that was so popular just a few years back lowered the standard, took away the separation, or what little separation was left, and we lowered the standard and accept anything just to get people in the church. But when we brought them into the church in that method, we made them think that you're all right with God, and here they are, think they're saved, and they've never experienced salvation. They're trying to do the work of God and run the church, and they can't do it, and we're in the awfulest mess that ever was. There is a unity of the Spirit, and the people of God agree on all things. And here he tells you, the one body is called the one Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. And that Spirit's in the world and working for the salvation of souls today. And so there's one body and one Spirit and one hope of your calling. And our hope is the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the full redemption and the deliverance out of this tabernacle of sin. As the son of one of our founding fathers, Stuart Hamlin, wrote, this old house, and this old house is getting old, and this old house is about to wear out, and this old house needs to be deserted, and I'm longing for the day when it will be. But we have one hope in the calling, one Lord. There's only one Jesus. There's only one that died. There's only one sacrifice for sin. There's only one remedy for sin. That's the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One faith. Jesus Christ come into this world. God took upon himself human flesh that he might walk among men, that he might sacrifice himself and shed his precious blood as the atonement for sins, the sins of mankind. And so there's only one Lord, there's only one faith. We who are saved by faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it says one baptism. And that don't take you to the water hole. There's one baptism, and the baptism that all must have to get into the body of Christ is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the only baptism that counts. There are people, you know, that unless you go through the water, you're not going anywhere. But let me tell you this, unless you go to the through the blood, you're going to hell. Now, I'll be just as plain as I can be with you. If you're not under the blood, you're going to hell. There ain't no two ways about it. And so there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. If you have that faith. Now, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, and he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Well, what does that mean? He led captivity captive. I was a captive in sin. I was bound by sin. I was tied by sin. Satan had a good hold on me. And I was raised in a Christian home. I had a preacher for a daddy and a godly mother. And I was as mean as could be. I was in sin. And I needed salvation. And I was a captive of Satan. But the grace of God come. The Holy Spirit came. The Word of God convicted me. And I come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through faith in his atoning death. And so I'm a captive of the risen Savior. And I used to be a captive of Satan. Now I'm a captive of the Lord Jesus Christ. I belong to him. I am his servant and not the devil's. And so he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And it lists those gifts that he gave. Now the gifts of the Holy Spirit are these. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. I'm not an apostle, I'm not a prophet. And I'm not an evangelist. When I come into the evangelical movement in 1959, I went before the examining board. And they asked me, what's your desire? I wanted to be a pastor. That's all I ever wanted to be, was a pastor. I never asked for anything else. Didn't expect anything else. If the Lord could use me in some little way, somewhere, that's all I wanted to be. But Dr. Brackbull, every time there's an opening, he'd say, "You fill it. You do it." And so I was appointed to this and I was appointed to that. I never asked for an office and still haven't. And I'm giving them all up anyhow this year. But he took this poor uneducated boy, didn't finish public school, dropped out, went into service, no training, and yet God called me and put me in the ministry. And if there is anything been done, it is because of the Spirit of God and not my ability, because I have none. I'm still a poor, helpless creature. Just as I was a helpless sinner, I'm a helpless servant of the Lord, and if anything done, it has to be done through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so let's go back now to verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. I want to ask you to raise your hand if you're a child of God. You know whether you are or not. And if you've been saved, you have an obligation. You have a binding responsibility to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. There's no higher name than a child of God. There's no better recommendation than a Christian. If you're a Christian, then we should conduct ourselves as the children of God, as the servants of God, as the ambassadors of God, and he tells us that we are to let our light so shine that the world may see our good works and glorify the Father. In 1 John chapter 3, one of my favorite verses or passages, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." Shall we bow our heads? Our Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship together around your precious holy word. Thank you for this great salvation. Thank you for your love. Thank you for that amazing grace that saves a wretch like me. Thank you for a merciful God that sees our need and meets our need every day. And we thank you and we praise your holy name. Amen.